Good morning and welcome to the Preventing Grace podcast for June 22nd, 2020. Today is my mother's birthday. Happy birthday, Mommy.
Yesterday was Father's Day.
Yesterday was Father's Day. Happy Father's Day, Matt.
Thank you. I guess, you know, every Father's Day I get pictures drawn by my children because we can't afford anything else, but I was really impressed by the art that I received yesterday. It's pretty good stuff that I would happily put on my wall.
It's great that they have an ability in that direction because that's going to be lucrative for them.
I mean, before it was all like these scribbles, like a picture of daddy, like this big round circle with like hair sticking out of it, every orifice. But now it's like actual art. It's really good.
So, that's good. Yeah.
I was impressed.
I mean, you didn't get my thing about how it'd be great if they could like
make money out of it,
engineer something, you know, make you a little
robot.
No,
see, our children are going to be good artists, and
that's about it.
And dig ditches and draw
pictures.
Well, not dig ditches because they're not really good.
They're also not very physically able, so
they're just going to draw.
I feel like they're perfect for this economy where you can't do anything anyway.
Yeah.
I was reading about all the jobs that are going to go away in the next 5 years because of automation, robots, all those things, AI.
Yeah.
All the jobs
are going to go away.
There are not going to be any more jobs.
They can't replace pastors with robots.
They can try, though, I think. Like, but basically,
they could program a pastor to like always preach sermons that are correct and they want to hear.
Yeah, I mean, there's not going to be any more trucking. There's going to be no more restaurant jobs of any kind, waitering or cooking. There's not going to be any lawn care things. There's going to be no more jobs.
That's going to be tough when monkeys come on the job market.
Because I know, because now by engineering
put human
brain cells into monkeys to make their brains grow bigger.
What could possibly go wrong?
I think that they should take those and put those brains into.
What are they going to do?
Machinery,
and they have to work.
And then we should.
How are monkeys? What avenue do we have in our economy for monkeys to earn a living, support their families?
I don't know. It's going to be really. It's going to be great. I feel like now is a good time for the whole economy to just come into the hands of a very few, the way that it already has, probably. Like, we just need a few very, very elite thinkers. Philosopher kings. And then no one else can earn a living. So then we have to have a universal basic income determined for us by the state. And that's perfect. I think that's going to go well. I, for one, welcome my robotic overlord. We don't really have anything to talk about today, like, that we planned. I think we should do hot takes.
Yeah.
You should say the thing that you're most irritated about right now, and then I'll say what I'm most irritated about, and we can just do that for, like, 5 minutes.
I am most irritated by, well, rapidly into the Anglican interwebs. This idea that if you're a person of color, but you disagree with the standard woke ideology present day, that your voice is not really a person of color. You're not really speaking as a person of color. You're speaking as a Uncle Tom, a sellout, a traitor. So that's perhaps the most racist idea to come out of, because you can't be. What that says is a person, the color of a person's skin determines how that person has to think. Or if you don't think like the majority of people with the color of your skin, then you are not really that. You can't be identified with that group. It's just weird. You know what I'm talking about?
So
Thomas Sowell, William Harrison, Samuel Say, not real black people because they're not lockstep behind BLM and wokeness and the various ideological remedies that are being given to us by the people like Anthony Bradley and Bradley Mason. And
is he an Anglican?
No, it's
Bradley Mason. You named a bunch of people who aren't Anglican.
I think
you shouldn't name anyone. Actually, just stop.
I'll name
no,
names.
No, just stop that. Don't name any names. That would be better for me if you wouldn't do that.
But it's just dehumanizing because you. Why is it that people with white skin can disagree with each other and not be questioned about who they are, but people with black skin cannot disagree with each other? And I mean, you can't have an opinion other than people wonder why people on the left wonder why we're so quick to recognize Marxist patterns in the present racial dialogue. And this is why, because this is classic. This is a classic way that Marxists think. It doesn't matter. We said this before. If you are actually part of the proletariat, I mean, if you work in a factory every day of your life and you bring home factory pay and you're objectively part of the proletariat, if you would rather worship in an Orthodox church and you love the czar, you're not really proletariat.
You're actually bourgeois.
Yeah. Because you don't have the right ideological position. That's exactly what's going on in the racial dialogue. You can't be black and disagree with the woke ideology, or you're not black.
So I think this segues into the question of whether or not to speak or not speak. So that happened a lot this week. If you, what the signs that say silence is violence.
Yeah.
If you don't speak out, you're engaging in actual violence. And there's a great picture online of a young man he's holding that sign, silence is violence. But then his shirt is covered with, it's like a long paragraph about how you need to not speak, and it has like stay in your lane, sometimes it's good to just shut up, and there's like all these slogans on his shirt. So he's holding the sign in the air that says silence is violence, but then the shirt is like,
don't speak,
you better not talk right now, because you better not, it's not your turn. You decenter yourself. You question. You need to deal with your privilege. And actually, the person looks pretty angry. It's a white young man, and I probably can't find the picture again because I saw it in the middle of the night. And so I had adopted my posture online has been, I'm going to stay in my lane. Like, I'm not from here. I do not get this. And so I'm going to stay in my lane, and I'm going to talk about the things that I know more about, and the racial issues of today are not those things. And so, but that means that I'm complicit by staying in my lane, which I've been told to do. I'm also complicit in racism and wickedness.
I think the whole narrative is absurd. Stay in your lane, don't speak. No, you're a human being, you have a mind, and you can say what you want to say. And I'm sorry, that also is dehumanizing. The idea that just because you belong to a certain color group, I mean, the category itself is absurd. I'm Irish, you're Scottish,
I'm
right?
Mostly German.
Okay, well, actually, maybe you should be quiet.
I think I'm. Like,
I know you're. Okay, well, if you're
so
German,
so are you. You're like a quarter heck, and I'm fully a quarter Hess. Danzeisen Hess.
Right now, I'm speaking out of my oppressed Irish background.
Okay.
The potato farming peasant background.
Yeah, I mean, Yeah, I'm Scots-Irish. I'm a direct descendant from Robert the Bruce, whose statue they pulled down this week, apparently, or defaced. Robert Bruce's
because
statues.
He was clearly
what a racist. A racist. Along with Grant, that's what we should be talking about.
The
pulling down of statues.
We are gonna, yeah, I think we should talk about that. But the idea that you, because of your white, because of the color of your skin, can't talk is just absurd. Yeah, okay, some people around the world are born with more social privileges than others. That's not a sin. There's nothing to repent of or dissenter from. You use whatever you have for the benefit of others who have less than you, but that's, there's nothing inherently guilt. You should not feel guilty because of the color of your skin. You should not feel guilty because of your ethnic background. You should not feel guilty because of who your father or mother was, as long as you didn't do what they do.
I think it's helpful, though, if you can feel guilty about what's so interesting, because you're not supposed to feel guilty about who you are. If you're like, if you're born, you know, with this differing kind of sexual preference, although in Untamed, Glennon Doyle, when people say, "Oh, maybe, you know, you were born same sex attracted," she says, "Oh no, I chose this. This is a better choice." Like, yeah. She tries to dismantle this, like, we're all born this way kind of thing. But that's been a huge thing for the, you know, the sexuality stuff, is that this is something you can't help. This is your, you're born this way. And that's supposed to be a good thing. You're not supposed to ever feel guilty about that.
Like, because of it's what you've been given.
Your inherent value is tied to your sexual preference. But, you know, you should not feel, and I agree, like, I don't think you should feel super special about the color that you were born. I mean,
yeah, it doesn't matter.
Like, that's a little bit weird, but not only should you not feel special about the color you're born, you must feel guilty for something that, I mean, it's like a new original sin. Which is so
that's
great.
Exactly
like,
what it is. It's a counterfeit. I mean, you're right. That's part of the narrative, is that the original sin of the United States is racism. And so that's, and we're all implicated in it. Every single one of us.
Okay. And so I guess in some sense I would say, well, yeah, I mean, I'm part of a community that did that. And so.
No, you're not.
Well, no, not right
you,
now.
You have no
but
party
like,
to that at all.
Well.
You came from Africa.
No,
you literally had nothing to do with it.
Okay,
that.
But I, by membership, and my citizenship is part of a country,
a nation state, is
a country that did some really, really awful things, and the after effects of those are ongoing. Like, we didn't, you know, it's a little bit like, for me, I would say it's like IBM leaving in the 80s, right? IBM left Binghamton in the 80s, and the community here never recovered from that. They left slowly. They left in the wrong way. They dumped a lot of junk in the river before they left. And so there's still ongoing cancer issues. If you go buy a house over in Endicott, you have a higher chance of getting cancer. Our downtown is still really horrid. And, you know, the community is depressed because IBM left in the 80s. Okay. I wasn't here when IBM left. I don't even own an IBM computer, but I have now joined a community where that is part of the psychology of this place. And I can sort of participate in the mourning of it several generations later of how IBM left and how that continues to affect and shape communal life here. Like, so I join in a corporate way into the fact that this is a place where IBM used to be and it's not here anymore. Like, I can join.
Okay, but you're not guilty of the IBM.
No, I'm not
sin.
Guilty
not,
of that.
You didn't pour stuff into the water.
No, I didn't.
But you can support IBM redoing or undoing whatever it did, right? But that's not your personal, you don't need to divest of IBM-ness.
No, I'm not.
There's no way to look inside of yourself and see how you, it's not whether you've poured filth into the river, it's how you pour filth
right. Right. Okay, but
you don't need to do that.
I feel by this current conversation, I feel robbed of my actual mourning or my actual participation in the community life of America. Because it's been stripped down and articulated one kind of way, I don't actually get to participate in this conversation in a real way. I don't actually get to mourn. I don't actually get to help those in need. I don't, my corporate participation in the life of American culture is flattened and made to be nothing by the way that this conversation is playing out, I think on purpose.
Okay. But
you're having one conversation and I'm having
another. Yeah. Okay. So I mean, I think we've talked about how, okay, well, if the nation state, if the government has sinned in some way and been unfair, the government needs to rectify that. But that doesn't mean that I personally, as a member of the, as a citizen of the United States, have done that.
Yeah. I didn't say that you had. Okay. I'm not understanding at all.
The point you're making there. Is it just because, I mean, you're being invested in part of the community, you're invested in rectifying the bad problem. Is that what you mean?
No, I mean, I don't even know, like, okay, there's not a lot I can do to deal with the fact that IBM left in the 80s. Like, I'm a member of a community now where that's just part of the way that it's been shaped and formed. And in a practical way, there's not a lot that I can do about it, other than that I can fully enter in, and I don't have to hold myself aloof and say this doesn't have anything to do with me. I can say no, I live in Binghamton now, and so IBM living in the 80s is a thing, and I'm not going to, like, you know, be like, this is nothing, and nope, IBM lives don't matter, you know, and whatever. No, I'm going to participate as fully as I can, and I'm going to feel all the feelings, all the grief, if that goes on here. And I'm going to be angry about injustices that happen in my community. I mean, you know what, I'm still really angry about Rent-A-Center and places like that, when the racial inequalities and mostly class inequalities of this town and economic things are really big, and there's no easy solutions to them. So I'm not holding myself aloof from that. I actually really do care, but I'm actually not permitted to, as a member of my local community, I'm not permitted to participate in a way that I would feel like I ought to, because no, it's now, are you black or are you white? Are you privileged or are you divesting of your privilege? Like the conversation on purpose has been made to be fruitless and so intractable that no solutions could ever be had for, that's the point, I think, of making it like this, making it about whether or not you're really black or not, if you have the right opinions, are you silent? Are you staying in your lane? All of that is meant to make it so that we actually couldn't go across the bridge of our own selves and relate to people of another race or ethnicity and find common cause and fix our really broken educational system, or make sure that people had enough to eat or that their children got what they needed. No, it's not, we're not supposed to find common cause over anything. We're supposed to be divided from each other.
Right. Well, I mean, I think we were talking earlier before we started this thing about how the law, I mean, okay, so Jesus comes along in the first century, and the law of God, the Pharisees had made it into an external thing. Like you do these practices, you're following the law. And Jesus comes along and says, no, the law is not just an external thing. It's an internal thing. And because it's an internal thing, it means you cannot establish your own righteousness before God. And so you have to turn to him and find salvation and hope. So this thing that we're dealing with counterfeits that. It does the same kind of thing. Like it's the problem is within, right? it's your racism, but there's no turning to Christ for help. Christ can't help you with this because it's not really a law. The law that is being pounded into you is that no matter what you think, no matter what preferences you have, you are necessarily guilty of this particular sin, even though, so there's really no way out of that trap. Whereas with real sin, like if you really do have ethnic hatred, you can confess that to Jesus and you can be forgiven. There's no way, mm-hmm. there's no way out of this thing. And we people have been doing it for a long time. It's endless navel gazing without rest.
Yeah. It's like, well, it's like a sort of kind of version of hell on purpose. I think you could turn ever more inward towards yourself, which is the worst thing that you can do too. It's like anti-agape.
Yeah.
You know, like agape turns you out towards the other.
Yeah.
So completely that you forget yourself.
Yeah.
And you become selfless. This is like, that becomes wicked. You have to turn so completely in on yourself to shrive yourself of your sins that
right.
you can't you can't help the other person, and you shouldn't try. You should just, it's all about you instead of being all about them.
Right.
Under the guise of it being all about them. Like you're in order for it to be about them, you must double down on yourself and think more about yourself and your problems.
Right.
Which is a fascinating reversal too.
Yeah.
Of the, like it's a great kind of,
who was it?
Twisting of something that is inherently good. And
right. Who was that asked that question? Like it was a woman, like a woman evangelical, I think, said, don't ask whether you're racist, ask how you're racist. Is it D'Angelo?
Well, yeah, I don't know. The Robin D'Angelo book is being quoted everywhere, and I don't know all the quotes that, I don't know what's from that and what's other places, but I've seen that on Christian Twitter. Like, I've seen a lot of these kinds of phrases on Christian Twitter. Like, you know, you should stay in your lane. You shouldn't speak, but you should also speak. It's not whether you're racist. It's how you're racist. I've seen some of that stuff, but I don't know, like if people are quoting other people or what. What that's all about.
Well, it's so all of this, I mean, you hear people on the woke side saying, well, this is the gospel. This is what the gospel does. It fights for justice. It rectifies all wrongs. But look at the fruit of this. Since the woke ideology has begun to work itself into the church, what's the fruit been? It's been division. People who believe in the gospel have been at odds and at each other's throat because of this other law that's been added to the gospel. It's like the fight over circumcision.
Yeah.
It really is. The people who are pushing this are like the Judaizers insisting, okay, it's fine for you to believe in Jesus, but where is your circumcision?
Yeah. Where's your...
Where's your yeah.
Where's your external purity,
right,
and internal purity that we can measure and actually see, so that we know whether or not you have it? Whereas, like, the gospel says right up front, I mean, of course I don't. Of course I'm the wrong person. I've said the wrong things. I've done the wrong things. That's my hot take for the day is that I keep getting comments because I did say, I don't know why this is so hard for people to understand, but I have said a couple of times now, Christians shouldn't cancel each other. Mm-hmm. And so people on my blog, I haven't put any of these comments up because they irritate me a lot, which is, well, I was canceled by a church, you know, and religion caused 9/11, the Armenian genocide, World War II, the Holocaust, American slavery, and the Civil War.
What?
Don't forget the molestation and killing of millions of children. That's what religion caused. And then
I'm not sure I understand.
Yeah, I don't either. And then, yeah, like the church cancels everybody. No, actually the church, if you again, silence the whole
question, we did a whole show on how
Silence is not violence.
Cancellation.
Okay, and if an individual group of people cancels you, that doesn't make it okay. Like, those Christians did the wrong thing. Do you understand that, like, Christianity, like, there's a certain set of beliefs and things objectively measurable that Jesus said and did in the scriptures. Of course, Christians don't do that well. So Christians are canceling each other. And I'm saying, hey, Christians, stop canceling each other. Don't do that. Yeah. Jesus doesn't want you to cancel people. Of course, you know, killing some quote Christians in the name of God, killing other Christians. Oh, those people probably not Christian.
Yeah.
Can you distinguish between like the behavior of people in the name of Christ and the actual substance of the, but apparently not. No, if any Christian ever canceled anyone, that means that Christians cancel people. No, come on. Like,
yeah, I know.
It's bugging me that people can't make that distinction. It's not hard. Like, I don't think that Buddhists who go out and kill, you know, there's some very violent Buddhists out there.
And Hindus.
I don't think that means that the substance of their religion and all Buddhists are violent.
It must be the inherent wicked violence in the Buddhist system.
Yeah. Actually, that's absurd.
It is because people are, you know, it overlooks the fact that people are wicked regardless of what system they belong
to. Yeah. Okay. So that's the whole point. People are inherently wicked. Yeah. Like, people are inherently wicked. You sin because you are a sinner.
Right.
So yeah, you should divest yourself of your sin. How about, why don't you repent of your sin instead of your privilege and get help with that? But no, can't do that.
Well, and you know, so just like any, just like the Pharisaic system produced this, like, okay, so we were talking a minute ago about how the law works itself, this false law works itself inwardly to make you, to give you grief with no relief. But externally, there's also things you have to do, which, I mean, I was on a thread on the ACNA official page, and someone said, well, I'll believe you really care about racial justice when you start posting things that are supportive of the present of the movement. And so I said, wait, so you're saying you don't believe that I have any virtue unless I virtue signal, which is exactly what she was saying. So that's how you gain virtue, is by publicly saying, I support this cause. And if you don't publicly say that, then
you're not anything.
And so just like the Pharisees, you've got to wear the phylacteries have to be so long.
Well, so that, and that's actually a thing, because when our park burned down, our park was burned by, okay, there was a peaceful Black Lives Matter protest in the afternoon, and then the park was burned at night. But if you complained about the park being burned at night by people who were not the same peaceful protesters as during the day, but a different group came in and burned the park. If you didn't start your post about how sad you were about the park being burned with hashtag Black Lives Matter, it doesn't matter what your actual thoughts and feelings are about racism in America, what you've actually done on that account. If you've actually tried to, you know, make common cause with people of other ethnicity, it doesn't matter who you are. If you didn't say hashtag Black Lives Matter, you are racist. Yeah. And the people who say that, incidentally, largely do not do a lot. I know this for a fact, that some of the people who are screaming, you're a racist, to the person who didn't, aren't doing anything. Like, they are sitting in the academic halls of power. Most of them are white, dare I say it. They don't know anyone of color personally. They don't know anyone who's poor of color personally. They haven't talked to little children of any kind. They don't know what the issues are for single Black mothers in this community, but they put hashtag Black Lives Matter, and so they are absolved of the sin of racism, which is absolutely absurd.
Right. Yeah, that's how it works, though. I mean, that's how false religions work, because you have to do that. It doesn't matter. You know, so it's just the same thing on the right, like the far right fundamentalist group. So you wear your skirts down to your ankles, or you don't go see movies, or you wear the right kind of headgear, and you're righteous. It doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter who you really are. But you, then you can look at the people who aren't wearing the skirts that are at that length and aren't wearing the hats and aren't wearing the and are going to movies. You can say that person's a wicked, horrible sinner. Has nothing to do with any kind of biblical judgment. It's all appearances.
Yeah. Add to that you can knock a statue down and you get extra merit.
Yeah, that's even better, right? I mean, not the right statues. You don't want to knock down statues of Stalin, who actually murdered lots of people.
Did you see that? That's like a private personal statue owned by, bought for a lot of money by a privately owned Stalin statue is not being defaced and knocked down.
Of course not. Stalin's a hero. He killed all the bougies. So he's, you know, he gets, we should make more statues of Stalin.
And then, millions of people who weren't bougie for real, but who were actually really poor and helpless.
Yeah.
Killed all those people too. Yeah. Well, I'm not on the side of erasing history, but I understand that that's a controversial and a wicked thing to say. So,
well, one thing I put this on Facebook on Saturday, I think, was, you know, why it would be really helpful if people who are for erasing all symbols of the past because they're racist would actually read maybe a biography, a really good biography. There's some good ones out there on Adolf Hitler, and then read biographies on, say, Robert E. Lee, and then Ulysses S. Grant and George Washington. And I think what you'll find, I know what you'll find, is that Robert E. Lee, for all his flaws, and he had many of them, was not Adolf Hitler. And neither was Ulysses S. Grant, and neither was George Washington. They were men with terrible flaws who did wonderful things and who sinned greatly and also accomplished great works.
Well, see, but that would mean that somebody would have to crack open a book or get an Audible account, and you have to learn something that you don't already know.
Right.
And so,
I mean, who knows what the next generation is going to come? I mean, if we're raising a generation of Jacobins, that turns on itself. So there's something we're doing wrong right now that's going to be destroyed. We're going to be destroyed by the next generation because of something we're saying. We don't even know that, right?
Yeah, we don't know what it is. Yeah. It is. That's the way it goes. Well, is there anything else you want to say?
Well, we should say, a positive note, that if you're a Pharisee, you can
be forgiven.
You can be forgiven. You can repent of your false gospel and believe in Jesus and be saved.
Yeah.
And take a break. If you really are feeling a lot of pressure about, you know, how, whether or not internally you are sufficiently decentered, that's a treadmill. I mean,
you shouldn't be thinking about yourself at all.
That's a treadmill.
Like, you should not be worrying. You should not do not read the Robin DiAngelo book and wonder about how racist you are. That is the worst thing. Get out and go work in your garden. Take a walk. Call a friend. Read your Bible. Stop thinking about yourself. Make dinner for your family. Pray for the world. And don't think about yourself so much because how unhappy you are. That's the worst. Believe me, I tried it. I've been trying the whole, maybe I should think about myself more. And I can report with accuracy that that's actually a bad thing to do. You should cling to Jesus and think more about him and think about other people in the right kind of way, which isn't like, what's wrong with those people? If only I could figure out what they're doing wrong. No, think good things about other people. Like, think three good things about people that you hate today and people you want to cancel. And maybe write them down on a little piece of paper so you can think them again later. And then do some physical work. Work in your garden. Cook something. Get off the internet.
Yeah.
Go That's the advice of Preventing Grace podcast. So thank you so much for listening. And we will probably be back next week if we're not canceled.